Okay, we're picking up from the last line of Samech Vav Amar Beis with the words of Rava Lita'ame. So again, we were discussing, according to Rava, he talked about how the dead body, if you put the tachrichin on the garment, if you use it as tachrichin, so even though it's going to be the wife's, still, that is mafkia, the wife's possession of it, and you would not be allowed, she would not be allowed to collect it afterwards. And the Gemara points out that this is Rava Lita'ame, Rava following his Shitaso, the Amar Rava, Rava says, Hektesh, Chametz, Shichra, Mafkir, Midei Shibu, turning on the next number. So let's just explain each one. Hektesh, the halacha is, if somebody establishes something to be used as a collection, many times the lashon of the Gemara is an aputki. So if you use that, so basically I'm establishing that this item is to be designated for you. So I show you my car and I designate that as collection if I do not pay you back. So this, you have a lien on this collection. This is something that you're going to collect the car if I don't pay you back. Now, if I makdish the car, even though I owe you the money, that still would have kedushas damim, and the lien would be removed from the hekdish, and you would not be able to then. Never mind. Actually, Rashi is the opposite. That if you just do kedushas damim and tag b'chalav, you have the hekdish aguf. So he's like an animal. That's something actually used for the base of mikdash. Then that would be mafkia the lien. Rashi says kedushas damim. The car example actually wouldn't be mafkia. Wouldn't be mafkia the case. Then you have chametz. If you have the case of chametz, so now here is an interesting case where you're talking about somebody who designated chametz as an putki to the person who's the malva is the lender is going to be a goy. So even though the goy is not benefit from it, but since the putki is in the presence of the Israel, so therefore the it would be mafkia the lien on that the guy the goy has on it, and you're allowed to destroy it on Erev Pesach in order to get rid of your chametz. Turning on the next number, but shichur or sol shichur avadim, if you establish a slave as a putkin, you free the slave. Mafkiyim b'dishib, all of these are going to remove the lien that the malvet, the lender, has on the lovet. And Rava is establishing that all these cases would do it. So in our example also, so since the similar to Hekdesh case, the halacha of the tachrichin was supposed to be given to the wife back, but at the end of the day, they used it for the mace, so then it's too late. Rava is the shitaso. Now the Gemara explains another statement of Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda, echnisa lo shnei chelim ve'elef zuz. So the wife brought in very nice, or whatever it was, let's assume it's like golden vessels, each one was worth 1,000 zuz. Meshivcho ve'amdev al shnei elefim, and then gold went up. So each one was worth 2,000 zuz. They doubled, meaning it was worth 1,000. It was worth together. They were worth 500, and now they're worth 1,000. So therefore, each chli is worth 1,000. So now it went up double. Each one went up 500. So now echad not lovek sevasa. So then when she gets divorced or the husband dies, so he's responsible for the 1,000 zuz. He established he's going to pay 1,000 zuz. So he pays for the 1,000 zuz. She's allowed to take one of the kalim back for ksubasa. Ve'echad otel es damin v'notlo. So the second one, she wants that one. So she never committed. She never committed to get back that one. So therefore, she would have the second one that she wants to take. She would have to, if she wants to take it, she would have to pay for it. But she's allowed to force him to pay it, to take it. So she's allowed to establish that she wants to pay the 1,000 zuz, and she'd be allowed to take it. So the Gemara asks, "My kamash v'lan shavav chesav v'yadi da'ave amra Ryuda chadazimla." So what's going on? Ryuda already told us this halacha that in a case of something which is the prestige of her father's house, that's something which is going to establish it that she has the right to claim to it, and therefore here also she can claim to it even if she has to pay over here, but she's allowed to pay the cash equivalent. So what is this? Why is this any different than we learned before? If you have the kalim, she has the right to demand the actual tzonar bars of kalim and not actually the cash equivalent. So the Gemara says, about the same, I would have thought, Ani Milecha, the Matil of Ishkal Biksubasa. That this halacha is only with regards to the Kalim or coming to her in collection of her Ksuba. Of Amita Dami Mishkala, but additional money to take the Kalim, we would not apply this rule, as Rav Yehuda told us in this halacha. So therefore, Kamashpon, Rav Yehuda is teaching us a Kiddush that this ruling is applying that a wife is allowed to retain her tzonar b'chalav her properties after the marriage applies, even in this case over here, that even in the case where she took one of them, she's allowed to then take the other one as long as she pays the equivalent. Okay, now our Mishnah is going back to the halachas of a bas Yisrael shenisos hakohen, a Yisrael's daughter who marries a kohen, a mason. The kohen dies, v'nicham uberes, and she has a pregnant child. At the time of the death, she was pregnant with this child. She also has other kohanim by this kohen. So the message is already, she has other kohanim. She herself is allowed to eat shrimp, but the question is going to be with regards to the slaves. So the Mishnah tells us, lo yachlu avdei avachumah, her tzonar barzel slaves, that's going to be an important point, only the tzonar barzel slaves, not the nichsim and malok, because malok slaves, those are entirely hers. The tzonar barzel slaves are not allowed to eat trumah b'nei chotel shumah, because the fetus has a share in the upcoming portion, and he's not born yet. So therefore, the slave is only permitted only because the Kohen owns him. The unborn child is considered an heir, and therefore an heir of the estate, and therefore he's part partial owner, but he's still not able to actually give over tshuva because he's not born yet. So therefore, we're like viewing it in both ways, that we view it as potentially that in fact he's going to be born. He has a status, but he doesn't have a status enough to feed for tshuva. We're going to see that, and the mission at the end of the Amud is actually going to mention that that's one of the rules where somebody can be postal something from eating tshuva, but he itself is not cannot give the status to somebody else to eat tshuva. So we're going to get to that. So that's that interesting dichotomy over here. So now the mission continues. The mission says, "Sha'uber posel and uber a fetus disqualifies others from eating truma, but ain't a ma'aseh, but it does not entitle others to eat truma." As we just mentioned, the daughter of a non-Kohen who is married to a Kohen loses her right to eat truma when she is divorced or widowed, unless she has a child. So the mission is telling us that if the Kohen is carrying an unborn child, the woman who is married to Kohen, that is not enough to allow her to eat truma. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, this is the words of Rabbi Yossi. According to Rashi, this means that sha'uber posel ve'ein ma'aseh refers to two separate cases. Sha'uber posel is talking about the case of a Kohen's daughter married to Yisrael, and Eina Ma'ichel is referring to Yisrael's daughter who is married to a Kohen. Both phrases are telling me, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that the mother is not allowed to eat truma in that case. Amru lo, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi, Ma'achrashe, Ha'yodesalanu Abbas Yisrael Kohen. Since you already told us the lafa regards to Yisrael's daughter who is married to a Kohen, you told us, according to reasoning, that the case of Yisrael's daughter who is widowed from a Kohen, if the fetus does not entitle the slaves to eat truma, so then that should be true. Even if a bas coin is married to a coin, a much bigger fiddish, a mace, and the coin dies, because as we mentioned, the luck over there, the issue is all about the son of Barzal slaves, which belong to her husband to some degree, and that therefore the coin estate is being inherited by a fiddish which is not able to be made for the truma. So if that's the case, you should say a much bigger fiddish. Even if the mother herself was a kohenet, she was a bas coin, and she married this coin, so then even in that case, because the whole fiddish is telling us that the potential ability to be an heir to the estate is what's the problem. Of not being able for the slaves to eat truma has nothing to do with the actual status of the woman. So say much better chiddush that even if she was a kohenis, this would be the halacha. That's what the Mishnah is just ending off. A question on Rabbi Yossi. So now the Mishnah doesn't record Rabbi Yossi's defense. The Gemara is going to support a brisa, which Rabbi Yossi is going to lechora be able to answer this question. So now the Gemara just asks the question. By the time of Rabbi Yossi, what's the reason of Rabbi Yossi? Is it mishum the kasav or uber meizaro? That the reason that the fetus of the womb of a non-Kohen is allegedly a non-Kohen, and therefore the slaves are partially owned by a non-Kohen, and they cannot eat shuma because all the while she's with her Yisraelis. So then, that would be one potential. Odima yelid meichel. No, just simple reason is that only a born Kohen can entitle others to eat shuma. She'enu yelid ein meichel, an unborn Kohen is not able to, as we just mentioned in the Sefer of the Mishnah, that according to this explanation, we do indeed consider the fetus as a Kohen before the birth. However, he lacks the koach halachically to entitle the slaves to eat shuma only after his birth, because the pasuk tells us that only Yelid Bayis that is allowed to eat Uyocha Balachmos is referring to shuma, and that Yelid Bayis is only someone who is actually born. So therefore, the slaves are partially owned by someone who cannot give them shuma. So Gemara asks, "Am I nafkamina? Is there any nafkamina?" The Gemara says, "Yes." The halachic difference is going to be the case of a fetus in the womb of a kohenes. According to the first reason, the fetus in this case would entitle the slaves to eat truma, while according to the second reason, the fetus would be unable to because it's just a simple problem of not being born yet. So we see over here that this is the shaila. So Gemara says, what's the halacha in this case? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Hainu time of Rabbi Yossi, this is the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi. The kasav u'pa v'mezarahu, that because he holds that a fetus in the womb of a non-Kohen is allegedly viewed as a non-Kohen. So therefore, the fetus in the womb of a Kohenes would be able to entitle slaves to eat shrimah. So Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar Yalud Maichel. So he holds an Uber Mezarahu. So that case, the Kohenes would answer up the Gemara at the Mishnah by this point. Rav Yosef would answer, Nechanami, a Kohenes would be a different halacha, as according to this answer. So Rav Yosef quotes a different halacha, because he says, no, Yalud Maichel, Shinu Yalud Inu Maichel. The halacha is because a born child is able to feed Shuma, and an Amar child is not entitled to Shuma. Therefore, the fetus in the womb of Kohenes cannot entitle the slaves to eat Shuma. So Meisiv, they have a kasha on this shita. Amrul Rabbi Yossi, Ma'achachadad Lano Agisol Koin, in this version of the Braisa, it's Mamish Kasei Beferish, what the answer to our Mishnah would be. So he says, they said to Rabbi Yossi, you will give us a Eidos HaBas Yisrael HaKoin, Bas Koin LaKoin Maya. So what would be the halacha in regards to a Koin, to a Koin's daughter, to a Koin whose husband leaves her pregnant? What would be the halacha over there? Amar Lahem, he's responded back to them, Zushamati, I have heard, so he says concerning the case of a wife of a Yisrael's daughter, I have heard the halacha that the Koin says Minati Shuma, but Zulo Shamati, in regards to this case, I have not heard the halacha that the Koin slaves may not eat Shuma. I've heard that it's permitted. So according to this version, Lachor Rabbi Yossi is saying it's Beferish Mutter. So now the question is, Yamar Bishlam and Nitra, and I said the reason is, Uber Mezarahu, that the fetus of the womb of a non-Kohen is likely viewed as a non-Kohen. So then that makes sense. Why Rabbi Yossi, in a case where it's a Kohenes, then she's going to be Ma'ichel Manashach, so then it's going to work. Hainu to Kamala Zushamati Vezu Lo Shamati. That's as Lashon was saying that in this case I heard the halacha telling you that it's going to be Asr, but in a Hanami, in a case where the daughter was a Kohenes, that she would be entitled the slaves to eat Truma. And Leimar Yelud Maicha, but if you say that the word of Rabbi Yossi is the whole that only a born child is able to feed Truma and an unborn child is not, Shein Yelud Maichil, so then what is going on? The first two cases are the same as Akalacha. Why would the Gemara be asking any point on that, on Rabbi Yossi? What would the Brisa be asking on Rabbi Yossi? So therefore, the Gemara says Kash. It's really, okay. We don't give a full out reputation according to this view, but we definitely see that it makes more sense to assume that the vort of Rabbi Yossi, according to the way we're explaining it, is that that the vort is that a zara b'mei imo, that the lashon of ubar is zara b'mei imo, that imo is that therefore she, while he's connected, she's the ubar is connected to the Israelis. That's the problem. The moment he's born, she's going to be a kohen. So therefore, if it was a bas kohen, he was married to a kohen, and the husband subsequently died, so then this pregnant woman would not have a problem with the Tzoner Barzal property eating the slaves of the Tzoner Barzal, would be have no problem eating Shruma in that circumstance. Says in Marvaita Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zudir Rav Yossi. These are the words of Rav Yossi. That in the case of Rav Yossi that says a fetus is preventing Tzoner Barzal from eating Shruma. However, the Gemara says this, it doesn't agree by everybody. There's machlokes. However, that if the Kohen has other children, so then even the Tzoner Barzal slaves would be allowed to eat on account of the children. The Chachamim hold that an unborn child is not an heir to the estate, therefore he's nothing for this purpose, and therefore the slave owned by the Kohen right now is by this the own Kohen's children, and therefore they're allowed to continue eating. However, they don't have any children. The slaves cannot eat Shuma on account of if he has no other children. Besides for the fetus, then the slaves are not, the slaves would eat Shuma on account of the brothers. Meaning, in the next person are his brothers. So these paternal brothers, if they're Kohanim also, they would be also allowed to be Maichel. So Ein lo achim, if he has no brothers, Ochlim Mishum Mishpacha Kula. So then, if you keep going back, eventually you're going to find another heir, and there's no such thing without a Jew without a paternal relative who will inherit him, and therefore they're all going to be Kohanim, they're allowed to continue eating Shuma. So therefore, the Chachamim are arguing Rabbi Yossi, hold that a fetus is not considered an heir to be able to continue, and therefore they hold that the fetus is irrelevant for the lacha that he might future be able to inherit. Right now, it doesn't matter, and therefore they would hold that the slave would be allowed to continue. So the Gemara says, Zu, when Shmuel said that these are the words of Rabbi Yossi, below Svirla, with his intention to hold that he's saying, oh, by the way, this Mishnah that we're holding is Rabbi Yossi, but we really don't hold like this, we hold like this other Shita. Or Hamar, so the Gemara says that seems to be an obligation of Shmuel, but Hamar Lei Shmuel or Chana Bagdad. He said that Rav Chana was an expert in the Agadas of the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying that why do you say then puk aisili be'asara, go bring 10 people to me. I'm going to say to them, I'm exactly ubar kana. Someone grants possession to a fetus, the fetus is acquiring. This is a big machlokas in Bava Basra. Shmuel holds that a fetus can acquire something from the possession of another person. He can receive a gift. So this is certainly going to be able to tell us that a fetus can acquire an inheritance also without actually being born yet. Lechora, that's the tushta, that's what should come out of there. So apparently Shmuel is of the opinion that a fetus is allowed to acquire like she does Rabbi Yossi. So this lechora is a problem. So he's paskening that the kinyan made before a gift, again, given to the fetus, is valid. According to Rav Huna, it's not valid. Rav Nachman Rashi says that it is valid. So Shmuel is telling us that he wants the people to say that it is kohen like Rabbi Yossi lechora. So the Gemara says, Elazu Israel, you must know that this is the words of Rabbi Yossi. The Chacham disagree, but I attack all like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says that if that's the case, what is Shmuel teaching us? That he's arguing the Pligar Rabbanan like Rabbi Yossi? So he's telling us that there's the machlokas in this? Umi Pligi, but do they really disagree with him? Maisi Rav Zakkai, or Zakkai had a question. Zo eight is eight. Rabbi Yossi made Shabbayim Avtayon. Rabbi Yossi said this lashon in the name of Shabbayim Avtayon. The orderly people on the Sanhedrin, we were in the Pirkei Avos. We were submitting the ruling to them. They are very chashuv people. Vodilu and the Chachamim agreed to him that this Shabbayim Avtayon said such a thing. So Gemara says yes, they agree that Shabbayim Avtayon said this. And Rav Ashi made kind of a kibbutz. Do they agree that this is a psak? You're great. You have a masorah from these massive gedolim that said this such a halacha, but we have our own masorah. That's like saying someone has made something in a halacha in the name of the Chavetz Chaim. Okay, but a person held like Rav Moshe, so we didn't know that there was a Chavetz Chaim. You're saying this is the Chavetz Chaim, such a thing. He was a tremendous gold this time. Rav Moshe was a barachi. We have the masorah from Rav Moshe. We're disagreeing. So the Gemara says the Mistar Batami. Granted, again, what you said makes sense, but we are disagreeing with your halacha. So therefore, it's not a kasha. There is this machlokes, and then again, Shmuel will be telling us that. That we have the right to disagree with this Masorah from Rabbi Yossi, and we hold like the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we don't have a so the Gemara is continuing with Rabbi Yossi Shita, and if the Kohen died and left sons, Elu ve'elu oichlan, both the Malog and, according to this version, the Tanu Rabbanan is allowed to eat. So both of them are allowed to eat according to this answer, but the widow was not pregnant when he died at this point. So So that's the point over here. Nechamu Baris, this is the Hemshech of Baris. So if he left her pregnant without any living sons, Eilu v'Eilu Einochim, the Malov slaves, Eilu to the Barzels, are not allowed to eat. In this case, because you only she's pregnant, but still, that doesn't help you. She's not able to be a Maisa. So nor the wife, nor the husband's possessions. Now, what if he left sons over and also left her pregnant? The Adam Malo could eat just as she eats. The Tzorna Barzel lo yochel nechal koshel lubar. This would be in line with the shita of Rabbi Yossi that the Tzorna Barzel, or the Kohen, the unborn child, is considered the heir, and therefore would be not allowed to eat the avadim of the because of the chalak that he's not born yet. Shuvar posel veina meichel divar Rabbi Yossi. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi that the fetus disqualifies and does not entitle others to eat shuma. Meaning, if the woman is pregnant and the only child is the potential, if she has any children, that this Uber will be able to be born, the luck would be, according to that, she's not allowed to eat Shumba. Even though, in this case, we view it as the Uber is going to be born eventually and ruin the Chalak of the Tzoner Barzel, here we know, so that's the point of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel says in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, Habas Ma'achelas, a daughter entitles others to eat Shumba, Abein Eino Maicha, while a son is not entitled to those to eat Shumba. The Gemara is going to explain what this means. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, coming up, Lag Ba'emer, is Yom Tov. Zecharim, if there are any male offspring, all among the surviving children, Yoichlu, the halacha is that the slaves may eat Shurma. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai agrees with Rabbi Yossi that a fetus acquires inherent property such as a slave, but on the contrary to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai maintains that as long as there's even one surviving male child, the son of Marzal slaves will continue to eat Shurma on his account, even if the president of the fetus who could be able to be a fellow heir of the slaves. However, kula nekevas, if all of the offspring are female, lo yochlu slaves should not eat shuma. Shema yimatzei uber zachar, because maybe the fetus is going to be a male. Bein levanas makom bein klum. So what comes out is that the daughters have no portion of the inheritance at all in the presence of a son, and therefore, if the fetus is found to be a male, he alone will inherit the slaves. On this possibility, the slaves are owned entirely by an unborn child who does not have the ability to feed someone truma. So the Gemara says, when I'm clarifying Shitas Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the Gemara says, my area, Shema Yimatze Uber Zachar, why did Rav Shimon bar Yochai teach us the halacha with regards to the slaves? They're not allowed to eat where there's potential, where there's only female offspring. Why do we say that the fetus is found to be a male? Tepuklei, the Nekeva Nami Pasa, let us say that in any case, even a female child will disqualify them from eating Shuma, because the chance that the fetus will be a male is only a minority, and even if the fetus should turn out to be a female, she inherits the slaves amongst her surviving sister. So therefore, this would be the same as Rav Yossi's case, that any heir, male or female, should be a problem. So the Gemara says, Chadev Od Kamar. Rav Shimon bar Yochai is saying the first and another explanation. Chadev in the Kevin Nami Pasa. First of all, the slaves do not eat Shuma for the chance that the fetus is a female. A female heir is also disqualified the slaves from eating Shuma. But Od Shemay Matzeh Ubar Zachar. Meaning, he's saying two reasonings, really, and also maybe back to be a male. And also, the daughters have no portion in the inheritance at all in the presence of a son. So therefore, under all circumstances, the slaves are not able to eat Shuma. So the Gemara wants to analyze the first half of Rav Shimon bar Yochai's statement. Zachar b'yoichlu. In the case of you have male offspring, all the surviving children, the slaves will have to eat, even if there might be a male. So Marza Beika Ubar, but maybe the fact that there's a fetus who may be a male, and that should be good. So the Gemara says, Kasavar, turning on to the next time. But now, Ein Choshev Miuta, that at the end of the day, we have the concept of maybe it's a Zachar, and we'll have a Chilek. We go after the road because maybe there's a chance that it's a female, and even if it's a zachar, maybe that the woman will have a miscarriage. So therefore, there's a road chance that this will not be a viable zachar, and therefore we can go after the road that assumes it'll either be a female or a miscarriage. In which case, you don't have to be choshes that it'll be a male who's inheriting with them, and the avadim can continue eating without any problems. Or you could say, maybe Rav Shimon bar Yochai holds that we are concerned for a minority, so why in the case of the slaves are they allowed to eat Shuma in spite of the fact that there's a fetus over here? So the Gemara says, Davina Lei Takanta, because we want to make a situation and set aside our own property other than the slaves of his portion of inheritance. According to this answer, that even if the fetus is a female, there would be no issue, but even if it's a male, we're going to make part of this the status of this be designated for his potential living Uber, and if he's a male, then he wouldn't be entitled to that. So therefore, that wouldn't be a problem. So where's this Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel? This would be like Rav Nachman and Shmuel taught us. So Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel, Yisomen Shabbat Lachav B'nisei Avim. Orphans or minors came before divide assets before their father. Based on the Petrovas, basically could set up a legal guardian for them. And this, Borlam Telekafa, he will establish how to give out the portions, even these young little minors. Higdilo, if the orphans reach the state of over the age of bar mitzvah, Yecholimchos, then they can protest the settlement and demand that it should be redivided. Say, what do you mean? You give me this parsha of Haifa, I didn't want my father to stay in Haifa, I wanted it in Tel Aviv. And then one says, no, I want it in Yerushalayim. And the other one says, I want it in Tzfas. So the guy owned four different properties, so they could argue it, and then they could divide the properties again along the lines of what they want. However, since the Gemara of Nachman, Rav Nachman himself used to say, Higdilo, Eilachalimchos, the orphans reach adulthood, they would not be able to protest any divisions because they were done by Basim, Inkin Makos, Basim, well, what's the point of Basim is established? establishing this guardian for the next 5 years? No, it's establishing for a lifetime that the court is establishing a guardian to assume what's best for these children, and therefore they did at the time what they thought was the best, and therefore they can't protest it. So we see over here that just like the minors can't protest when they become bar mitzvahs, so too in the case where the guy is the uber, you will not be able to protest what they gave him. And therefore, whatever we establish, we gave them, so therefore, if we establish what we give him, so we're not going to be choshesh for the fact that he will be a boy, because even if he's a boy, we've established where his property is going to be. So we see from over here that that you'd be allowed to do that. And this means that the sins are really untold by their errors, and therefore you can eat the truma. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Nachman tonight. But maybe we should say the matter of what Rav Nachman saying is actually not focused on Naman. Because maybe Rav Shimon would agree that this would be okay, while the Tanakhama would hold that it's not going to be effective. The Gemara is suggesting that Rav Nachman's answer based in dividing the property is going to be machlokas of the Tanoim. According to Rav Shimon, Rav Nachman's would work, and therefore it could be used to prevent the fetus from attaining the partial ownership. According to the Tanakhama, it's not valid, and therefore it would be allowed to protest. So therefore, if it's not valid, then maybe that's the reason is because they hold that this method of Rav Nachman is not going to be valid. The question is, well, it's clear that Israel Rav Nachman. Everybody agrees to Rav Nachman. The whole machlokas over here, whether we concern ourselves with the minority possibility, Rav Shimon maintains that the slaves are allowed to eat shuma based on the fact that we don't consider the mere chance that it'll be a boy, because again, there's a 50-50 chance it's a boy or a girl, but even if there's a chance it's a boy, maybe the boy himself will be a miscarriage, maybe either within 30 days or die before there's a miscarriage, and therefore, the Chachamim are arguing that we take into account of the and therefore we're not choshev the mute according to Shimon, and the Chachamim disagree, they say we are choshev for the mute. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Alviv, Habas Machil, a daughter entitles others to eat shuma, Habegir Machil, where a son does not entitle others to eat. So according to this, so therefore, the Gemara's understanding that if there are only female heirs, the son of Barzal slaves may eat shuma, but if there are male heirs, the slave will not be allowed to eat shuma. So the Gemara says, Maishna ben delo maichil mishum chelkel sheuba. So what's unique about the son is that the status of the fetus. So here, the fetus shares the ownership of the slave. So bas nami talit af nei chelkel sheuba. Maybe in a case of the daughters too, we should not entitle the slave on account of the fetus that might be a boy and be entitled to this. So where's the Gemara? Bayacham in a chazim oter miskina nero. We talk in case there's very little property. The Lacha told us in Bava Basra that where there is insufficient funds, really the Lacha is, midar reisa, a person who has sons and daughters, the Lacha is the sons receive everything and the daughters receive nothing. So the Rabbanan Arba instituted that a man can make his tanak suva that the daughter should also inherit it into support until they either reach bagrus, which is a maturity 12 and a half, or they could be self-sustaining, or they get married. So in such a case, where that would be the case where they both have enough money, so that would be the lacha. But what happens if there's not enough money? So the lacha, the Mishnah Bava Basra tells us, if there is very little money, so then the sons do not inherit, and the daughters, they get supported with the little estate that's able to support them until they have to, and the sons have to go knocking on the doors asking for money. So the Gemara says, so in that case, so maybe we're talking about a case where there is, where we're talking about Matne Chasim Mamuatim, so therefore who's entitled to this small estate? Only the daughter. So even if a boy will be born, the Gemara is assuming, so therefore, there is already a son in line with the daughters, so now the daughters are going to be the ones inheriting the estate, and not the son, so even if the son's born, nothing's going to happen. So the Gemara says, Manashach. So whatever he considers, if the fetus is going to be a boy, lo adik mai the guy, he's not going to be any different than the guy who's there, who has to go begging on the door, so they have to beg for the little fetus, so the little baby was born. So therefore, he's not receiving any portion of the inheritance, so there's no problem. Ibasi, and if the fetus is a daughter, then amai achla, why would we, what's the problem, why should I take the estate? But takat the rabbanan. Why are they able to eat from the estate? Because it's a takana rabbanan, so kamadil nafak la'avir olam, no take rabbanan. The rabbanan never made a takana for this uber to eventually be able to eating, so that they're inheriting their inheritance. The takana was for the living daughters to be able to eat to support themselves, and if somebody has to go knocking on the door, it's less embarrassing for a man than a female. That's the reason the Bava Basra, if I remember correctly, and Mishnah Ketubos also, that's the reason that the men are, it's less embarrassing for them to go knocking door to door, so then you should have the men do it, not the woman. So at the end of the day, this takana wasn't for the uber, wasn't for the unborn baby, and therefore there's no problem. So then, how do you explain the brisa where the slaves are eating shuma, where there is a daughter? Where there is a small estate. But then let's take a look at the last point of Rav Shimon Yochai, where he tells us that all the children are females and the slaves may not eat because Shemay Matzeh Uber Zachar, maybe it'll be a male, but in the bottom is Makum Ben Klu, and the son is going to inherit everything, not the daughters. So now you said the first thing it was talking about where there was very little property. So the Gemara says, wait a second though, if you're Mukim the whole Mishnah's case, usually the Mishnah lines up the Rish and the Seifa. The Rish is talking about there's little property, so the Chora, the Seifa is also talking about there's very little property. If there's very little property, then who's inheriting in the case of the Seifa? Taka, in that case, also the daughters are going to be inheriting. So even if a boy is born, why would Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tell us that that would be a problem? In that case where they're all girls, he should also say it's totally fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. You have to answer that the second half of the brisa is referring to a case where they have enough money and maybe the boys are going to be inheriting. So the Gemara says, in a case where you're teaching us a chiddush with a small amount, that it's going to be the daughters. Is that really true? If male orphans sold the small portions, what they have sold is actually a valid sale. This shows us even when there's a small amount of sale, it's not going to go to the daughters. And if this is the case, then the Gemara's question, going back to the question, why Tzoner Barzel would eat Shuma according to Shuma Bar Yosi, or even in the presence of a fetus over here? So that's the question. So the Gemara says, Ela Mai Bas Tekatani, what is the Lashon of Bas? It really means aim. It meant a mother of a living child. When the Barzel says that a daughter is going to enable others to eat Shuma, it means that her Malog slaves are allowed to eat Shuma. So the Gemara says, Yachi, then Hainu Rabbi Yosi, that this is the exact same ruling of Rabbi Yosi. There's no Chiddush over here. So now we've rephrased Rabbi Shimon to be the same thing, to be Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Shmuel rather, there's a question of Rabbi Shmuel now. We're back to Rabbi Shmuel, that the Rabbi Shmuel is the same thing as Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara says, yes, right, cool Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Danila. That really Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, as actually his Lashon was in the Brisa himself, he's the one who taught us the Gantz Mishnah over here, the Gantz Din of the Brisa, and that's what's going on over here. Okay. We finish that point of the Gemara. Now the Mishnah is up to another concept that we already mentioned. The Mishnah is going to give different people who are unable to enable people to eat Shuma, yet they disqualify people, as we're going to see in a moment. Ha'ubar. So Ha'ubar, if you have a case of an Ubar, who's an Ubar? The Kohen's daughter was married to Yisrael, and then she was widowed, she was left pregnant. The child is not able to allow this Israelis to be able to eat Shuma because he's not born yet. Yet it could pass the Torah Barzal, as we saw before in the previous Mishnah, from being able to eat Shuma. Ha'yavim also, what's the case of a Yavim? If a Kohen's daughter was married to Yisrael, so if you have a Kohen's daughter married to Israel, he died without any children. So the fact that there's Yibam would still possible her from eating Shuma, even though there's only the Zika. On the other hand, if the daughter was a Israel married to a Kohen, she was a Bas Israel married to a Kohen, and that husband died, so she's waiting for a Zika for the other brother, so that also is not enabling her to eat Shuma. And Erison, also being married, if a Bas Kohen is Erison to Israel, she would not be allowed to eat Shuma. Yet, if a other way around, if you have a Bas Kohen who was Bas Yisrael rather, is married to a Kohen, would not be allowed to eat Shuma. And I'm going to say good question. But the other example would be a Bas Kohen is married to Israel, she's not allowed to eat Shuma, and a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, is also not allowed to eat Shuma. V'acher is also a deaf mute, Ubein Teish of Yamechad, and boys of the Muslims, discussing cases, postlin, they would disqualify others from eating Shuma. V'lo Meichlin, and they're not entitling others to eat Shuma on their account. In the case where you have a doubt whether the boy is 9 years old or not, or maybe he's 13 or maybe he's not, he's so sad of maturity that makes him 13 or maybe he's not. In a case where the house fell on him and his brother's daughter, who he's married to, they both died from the house. In this case, the co-wife requires chalitza, not yibam. This is seemingly an aga point, but the Mishnah is telling us that over here, she's not allowed to yibam because maybe if the husband died before the niece, so then both she and the niece would have gone before yibam to the brother, in which case you would have an erva and the tzara going before the husband. And once they're puzzled, they're white once it's lobanas shula yibna, and therefore, since she's puzzled for even a moment, it would be puzzled. However, if the niece died first and then the husband died, so really she's chayav midaraisa in yibum, and there'd be no tzaras erva there. So that because of that topic, we require to do chalitza, but because of the fact that it may be a interdaraisa, so we tell you only do chalitza and not to do yibum. Says the Gemara now, ha'ubar, in the case of a fetus that disqualifies the mother from eating shuma, but does not entitle it to eat it, so eat bas kohen l'Yisrael, if the case of the woman is a kohen, how does this work? If she's a bas kohen l'Yisrael, if the woman is a kohen's daughter married to Israel, possibly, the fetus would possibly her from being able to eat shuma because of the pregnant woman. If she has children from this guy, so then she's not choseres with shuma, so the fact that he might be born, it possibly her. However, because of we learned it from Pasuk, that in Urea, which includes a pregnant woman, she's not pregnant when she's in Urea, only when she's older. So Ibas Yisrael, that's what we learn from the Pasuk. Now, if it's Ibas Yisrael, a Kohen, if she is a Yisrael's daughter who is married to a Kohen, lo Maichala, the fetus does not entitle her to eat Shuma, and her husband's death, yellow Maichala, because only a child is actually born into Shuma, chain yellow and Maichala, only the pregnant woman does not. So it's both sides of the fence, it's only Machmer in this case. Similar thing with the Yavam. How does that work? We already fleshed it out in the Mishnah. Ibas Kohen Israeli. If the woman is a Kohen's daughter is married to Israel, so then possibly because of the Zika, this is excluding a Shemeres Yavam who's waiting the Zika of the other brother, so she's not going back to her father's house yet. She's not a Yichuma, even though she doesn't have any children there. Ibas Israel a Kohen, if we die with a Kohen, now she's waiting even with the other one. Lo Maichala. The Yavam also doesn't entitle her to Yichuma because it's Kinyan Kasbomar from one of the Kinyan Da'achimu. Kinyan Kasbomar is the acquisition of the Kohen's property himself, and this one is the acquisition of the brother and not his acquisition. V'erusin, in the case of only doing the first stage of marison, of the engagement, halachic engagement, disqualifies her from eating shumah if she's a bas kohen, and if a bas Israel, she should not be allowed to eat bas kohen li Israeli because if she's a bas kohen, might Israel plus like the fact that she's engaged to a kohen disqualifies her from eating truma. Daha kanya be'avaya, because he acquired her midaraisa as his wife. V'i bas Israel a kohen, and if she's a daughter of a bas kohen, lo ma'ichla meshum de'ula, because of the din of ula. Ula taught us that we're afraid in ksubas that midaraisa in a chanami she's allowed to eat truma, but midarabanan she's not. Why midaraisa? Because that's kinin kasba, she's still bought as the as an acquisition of his wife. Why can't you eat truma in this circumstance? Because Ula teaches us, we're afraid, she's where she resides, where's her residence? Is in her house of the father. We're afraid that he's going to give her truma wine, truma oils to eat and as presents, and she's going to be feeding it accidentally to her parents and to her father without noticing. So that's Xera, Shemiyachal, the Hermit Shpacha. Okay, Bez Shem will pick up, the Gajan Shabbos Jaff, and we'll give the recording, and the recording is Bez Shem will pick up with Samech Tess.